Every year I know we gonna go hard. We been that team ever since Bart Starr. All my cheese heads go pack go. Ain't show with no mercy, cutting no slack, no. I ain't a bad sport and I'll even wish you good luck. Only thing I will say.
Good evening and welcome into Lombardi's Legends Podcast. I am Wags and joining me as always is Dane. Dane, it's been a minute since we've done a live podcast here and just got to kick it off. How are you doing here, man? So we've got a draft, we've got some free agency, but we're ready to talk some Packer football.
Yeah, man, doing great. It's really good to see you and excited to talk again with y'all about the Green Bay Packers. A big draft already occurred. Packers have signed some undrafted guys as well. And, you know, free agency is one thing, right, Wags? But when we get into the draft post free agency, now we have a really good outlook, I think, of what this team looks like. There might be a free agent here or there added, but this is what this team is going to look like. We're at 90 right now. So camp is already starting this weekend, and it's exciting to see the shape of what this 2024 team can really be.
All right. So I see we've got some folks joining us on the live stream. So if you've got some thoughts on how the draft went, throw them in the comments. If you just want to say hello, pop in and chat. We'll try to feature some of those comments and questions throughout the show. For the episode tonight, Dane, you know, it's been a week since round one. You know, it's been 5 days since this draft wrapped up. So I don't think we're going to necessarily add anything new by just commenting on pick by pick recap and analysis. Instead, I think what we really wanted to look at is big picture. What's the impact of what this draft means for the team, looking at how that supplements some of the moves they made in free agency, some of the guys that they let go, and just overall, I think also an analysis on what this tells us about the focus and where this front office and perhaps coaching staff sees where this team is heading into the rest of this offseason, OTAs, and into camp. But Dane, I think first thing that really stands out to me, we always talk about drafting for need, and I truly believe that this Packers organization adheres to that. That said, that doesn't mean that they can't also draft based on guys that they want at the best available. And so I think, you know, Goody can get up there and say, we're taking the best available. But how do you surmise, just with almost a week of retrospect, how Goody and this front office let this draft play out for them? And how they kind of maybe sat back a few times, how they attacked the board a few times, how they traded back a few times to be able to make it work in their favor.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question and a good observation, Wags. I mean, heck of a draft, right? And listen, I'm not going to pretend like there's a reason, folks, that Wags and I don't do all of the draft talk. There's a lot of people that are experts at the draft. We're Packer experts, I'd like to think, but we're not, you know, college guys coming out experts. But having a week to reflect, first of all, you know, versatility is the name of the game with this Packers draft. And you're right. I mean, I thought it was a masterful job by Goody, and you said it, best player available, but also drafting for need. I mean, right away, taking an offensive lineman, it's such a Packers pick, right? Like Jordan was such a Packers pick to take the young man who can play some tackle, can play some guard, aggressive across the board. And we're not going to go into all these guys, but I mean, you know, safety in round two fits another need. I mean, instantly, Wags, and really even at round three as well, going linebacker. Wags, those are three need positions. And I would argue, and I think it's fair to say, the Packers not only drafted three really talented guys at premium positions, particularly that offensive line position, but across the board, but also, they drafted three guys that are going to start week one. And there's years in the past where that hasn't been the case. So right away, Wags, you know, and then deeper, we'll talk deeper in the draft as well, but, they came in with a strategy. They came in with a plan, and then they ended up double dipping and taking another linebacker with this switch from 3-4 to 4-3. There are some years when we were younger, especially, where I think we've scratched our head and going, what was the plan going into this draft? the Packers clearly had a plan going into not only Thursday, but Friday and Saturday as well. And it seems like they really, really executed and getting premium position players, but on their terms oftentimes. It never felt like they were really reaching. It always felt like they were trying to get the guys that were going to fit what they're doing within their system.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Dane. And as with respect to us being experts or not experts on college football and the draft, I will just say this. If nothing else, we're authentic about who we are, because there's a lot of folks out there that throw out content. And not to throw shade on anyone in particular, but everybody thinks they're a draft expert. And I don't think Dane and I are going to contribute to that content by throwing out our mock drafts and being right 10% of the time, even though we have a pretty good feel for what this Packers organization likes to do and the types of players that they're going to profile and target in the draft over the years. That said, Dane, I think you hit on it strategically. Clearly, this organization, they're bringing in Halfley, new defensive coordinator, and not only did they select multiple guys at positions of need in linebacker and safety, I think the types of players they've drafted was really something that stood out to me as well. These guys, common themes and characteristics, they're not all the same types of players, but leaders, tough-minded, attack the football, and you just guys that clearly just love the game. So high character, high leadership guys, attack the football. This is definitely going to be a little bit of a culture shift in terms of how I think this defensive staff is approaching how they call games, how they prepare, the mentality of this defense. We'll see how that translates to actual defensive successes, week in and week out. However, there's no doubt about it. The way that this front office approached drafting guys at these positions, taking multiple bites of the apple. And this wasn't just it's a crapshoot. We're going to, you know, take multiple guys at safety. Hopefully one of them works out. I think, honestly, you could look at all three of those guys when it comes to Bullard, Evan Williams taken in the fourth round, and then Keaton Oladapo. And those guys complement each other in a lot of ways. And I think they bring unique traits and characteristics that, while they may not all be starting out there or getting a lot of time from week one, I think clearly there's going to be a lot of competition. And they've just remade safety group to bring in and put alongside the guys that they already had on the roster. So it's just a real treat to see the mentality to pair what they did as an organization to revamp that defensive coaching staff, to make just some slight adjustments to revamping some of the talent on the roster to pair with what they want to do out there on the field.
No, I you hit it on the head. And the safety group was certainly one of them where it was just like, oh, wow, they're totally revamping this thing. I mean, last year going into the year, and not to knock these guys, but Rudy Ford, a good friend of our podcast, and Jonathan Owens, and then, you know, Darnell Savage, talk about it. It's just different, right? I mean, they go out, the Packers drop a ton of coin at safety in McKinney. And then in the draft, I mean, when was the last time, other than maybe offensive line, where they've triple dipped at a position, especially that high, right? Going with Bullard in round two, but then coming back to the well with Williams and then Oladapo. You mentioned all three of them, but Wags, they all do different things, but they all are versatile guys as well. And especially our second round pick, dude, I'm so excited because, you know, sometimes you hear smoke screens, right? You hear about like, oh, we want a guy who can do a little bit of everything. And then you go, yeah, okay, now we're going to take an in-the-box safety that's all they do. That's not what the Packers did this year. I mean, McKinney's going to be able to do a lot, I think, obviously, as a free agent. But Wags, I'll tell you what, man, I am so excited about Javon Bullard. I mean, he's just a guy who just – he's rangy. He's really, really good. I think that he's a day one starter there. But he can also play nickel. He can also kind of get in the slot and get in guys' faces, which, you know, is a great opportunity for somebody like Williams, a later round safety pick, to get some playing time. So, Wags, you said it. Competition. Competition is key. Everybody's better when competition happens. And at a safety group where there's a lot of youth and one big dog free agent signing, there's going to be so much competition at camp, and the cream's going to rise to the top. And that's just what I'm excited about, is the Packers are just stoking that competitive fire in Green Bay at a position that last year, I would argue, was one of the weaker positions on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and Dan, I think just to go to linebacker, couldn't be more excited about the other second-round pick in Edgun Cooper. A lot of folks are saying he has a chance to be the best linebacker in this draft, potentially a top 15, 20 talent. Certainly linebacker, like running back, it's not always a position that's considered premium, especially on draft day. However, just watching the tape of this guy and thinking about the possibilities of how they're going to be able to have Quay Walker and Edgun Cooper on the field. This is the type of talent that the Packers haven't had at linebacker position in, I don't even remember how long. Guys that attack the football, punish, clean up on tackles. This will be a real test to show we feel like we got some young talent on the defensive line. And I think at times the defensive line has been a little bit maligned in that, you know, they may have been doing their jobs and we just haven't necessarily had the guys attacking the gaps consistently behind them at the second and third level. Well, that may not be the case anymore with the talent we have. This was a thin group, but now with Quay Walker, Isaiah McDuffie will, I think, certainly still be in the mix. But yeah, certainly Edgun Cooper. And then backing that up, that was a little bit surprised that they went back to linebacker right away in the third round. I was thinking maybe a couple, two, three linebackers would be taken, but more like after that second round pick, more in that 5 to 7 round range, but going right back in the third round and getting Tyron Hopper. And I don't think he should be overlooked as well. It's a talented kid out of Missouri. Right. And so, you know, you've got two guys that were playing high level football in the SEC and just play with a physicality and a speed that I'm not sure that we've seen as a linebacker core in Green Bay in quite honestly, maybe not even in our lifetime. So I don't want to get too much on these young guys, but just from a talent and athletic profile alone, I think that's really what I'm talking about. We'll see. We certainly hope that the production follows, but you know, we've looked around the league and really been jealous of certain teams that seem to be able to have that linebacker core that can fly around and punish you in the run game and still be able to hold their own in the pass game. It's not something we've had in Green Bay, and again, I think that's a profile and a mentality shift that I'm really hopeful will pair with our new defensive coordinator and the rest of this staff, because that could really, really change what this defense ends up looking like moving forward.
We've got a great comment in the chat, David. Love the draft, high character guys, team captains, productive players. It's exactly what we were just talking about, David. Spot on. Really excited for the upcoming season, man. So are we. Wags, just real quick, I mean, something that really stood out to me as we wrap up the linebacker kind of conversation of this is it really struck me the amount of times I heard the terminology during some of the press conferences this week out of Green Bay, run and hit. These linebackers like to run and they like to hit. It's a mentality shift in Green Bay. Absolutely. This is a passing league. This is a league that is filled with mismatches. And I feel like at times in past years, and I don't think I'm saying anything out of turn here, Packers have been exploited by receiving running backs, running quarterbacks, and athletic tight ends. And yeah, they're always going to get theirs a little bit. But Wags, it's different now. We have guys that are sideline to sideline guys, both in Cooper, but man, Tyron Hopper, too. He's somebody I watched a ton of Mizzou video today in preparation for this podcast. And I was like, that dude covers ground fast. And it was noteworthy to me that they said that the staff in Green Bay said all three of those guys, we expect them to play some middle, some Will, some Mike. They can get all over the field. It's not a position group so much as it is guys that can fit and do a lot of different things. And that's what this Packers team is really being built on, right? It's a versatile group of dudes at so many different position groups. We talked about it at safety, but now at linebacker as well. My goodness, I think that this is a team that's just going to be faster this year on the defensive side of the ball. And I'm excited for it because Coach Halfley keeps talking about they're going to be pinning their ears back and being aggressive. This is a kind of youth movement on this defensive side of the ball that I think is going to completely lend itself to Coach Halfley's defense. So really excited about that. And Wags, I want to transition a little bit. The other third round pick, I want to get your impression. Just broadly speaking, at the running back group, all of a sudden it's looking more and more loaded with the Marshawn Lloyd selection, young man who came out of USC, does a little bit of everything. But what was your impression of the Packers going running back in the third round? Is that about when you thought that they'd be going that? I think we both discussed we thought running back would be a position, you know, that they target. But what do you make of that in the grand scheme of things in this running back?
Yeah. Well, first of all, this seems like they had a tier of running backs, and this is a position that they felt like they could attack in the third round. And I think we talked second, third round was kind of where we expected them to use a pick on running back position. A.J. Dillon is re-signed, but I think we agree, and most fans are probably looking at A.J. Dillon like we love the guy, but not going to be surprised if he's fighting and clawing and it doesn't end up making this 53-man roster out of camp. And so we needed some speed at the running back position. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Josh Jacobs can do as kind of that bell cow back. But I you know, honestly, this is a kid out of USC that he's not going to be Aaron Jones right away. We understand that. And I don't want to try to like get out of my skis here, but he's going to take that type of role in the offense. And I think it's going to be more of that first, second year Aaron Jones, where he's getting some of the snaps that, he can stretch the field. He might be getting, some looks out of the backfield as a receiver. I think they're certainly going to have him in certain looks. Josh Jacobs is going to get plenty of looks as a receiver out of the running back position as well. But he's certainly going to bring, I think, a little bit of a different dynamic. And so certainly he'll have a leg up, he's going to be on this team. He's going to be on the 53-man roster. So it's just a matter of, you know, how ready is he to contribute from week one, and carry some of the load and some of the complimentary, opportunities that he has, versus, you know, guys behind him. And we didn't even talk about it, Emmanuel Wilson, who we're both very high on, as to potentially push and challenge and create competition, for the final couple spots, on the roster, out of that running back room. So Dane, I'm really excited by how they approached this draft in general, honestly. And, you know, I think, even looking at the end of the draft, we got some guys, but I'm going to hold off on that. What I'd like to come back and ask you about is, what are your thoughts about what the Packers didn't do? A lot of fans, and I think a lot of folks, you know, that did some analysis on the draft, were really expecting, I think, the Packers to take cornerback. And I love the kid, Kalen King, they got in the seventh round. We'll talk about him in a minute, but I don't think there were some folks that were too happy that the Packers were letting all those cornerbacks go by in the first and second round. You know, they didn't take anyone on defensive line in this draft either. So it's just interesting to me a couple of things that they didn't do. And what does that tell you about how they feel they stand at those two position groups in particular?
Yeah, I mean, so I'm not entirely surprised at the cornerback position group. They paid a lot of money to Kayshon Nixon. They paid him being on the team playing defense money. They didn't, you know, so like clearly they see him in the plans there. Eric Stokes, you know, he's had some injury issues, but they're gonna give him every opportunity. Obviously, Jaire Alexander's Jaire Alexander on one end, but Wags, I mean, even if you go a little further in, Carrington Valentine played really good ball last year as a seventh round pick. And I just got to think he's going to get better. I think the Packers, what it says is I think they really like Carrington Valentine. And you know who else I think they like? They like Corey Ballantyne, who got a contract this offseason and played really well when called upon last year. So, would the Packers like to go and get a corner in, you know, round one or two? I'm sure every team would like to go get a top flight corner, but the reality is, did those corners fit the metrics compared to, what they were able to get from Jordan Morgan? And from all appearances, the Packers think that Jordan Morgan's the guy, you know, that's going to be able to help solidify this offensive line. And if that's the case, and you're about to invest a ton of money in Jordan Love, the best way to protect that giant investment is to get some big bodies up front to help block for him. And this is an offensive line that was good last year, and has an opportunity to be great, I think, in future seasons, but you have to keep working at it. And getting somebody like Jordan Morgan was clearly something that they couldn't pass up. So with all due respect to all the corners out there and then the fans that were hoping to get a corner, I think the Packers feel pretty good about what they've got. And then they, as you mentioned, King in the seventh round could be maybe the steal of this year's draft potentially. He played really well 2 years ago. So Wags, I think it means that they're really comfortable and they have a lot of trust in the guys that are there, not just Eric Stokes, who, you know, has had these injury issues, but Carrington Valentine. They think that they can win a Super Bowl, I think, with Carrington Valentine on the field, is what it tells me.
Yeah, I think that's the key right there. Honestly, I don't think they're giving up on Eric Stokes. Hopefully we can get him back healthy. It's almost hard to remember how good he was as a rookie, yeah. Honestly. But I think certainly Carrington Valentine is a guy that they have supreme confidence in. And you touched on it earlier. I think some of the interchangeability of a guy like Javon Bullard is not something that should be overlooked, and he can move around the field a little bit, and hopefully if he can push for some opportunities to get out there right away, that gives them a lot of additional flexibility on the back end as well. So, Dane, but that said, defensive line, I think you were expecting the Packers to go D-line early. As you were one of the guys, you said they're going to take some big guys. So it's not assuming too much to say you're maybe a little surprised that they didn't do anything with defensive line, is it?
Yeah, I'm I don't want to use the word shocked because I don't think that's fair, but I'm surprised. I think I put out on social right before the draft, I was like, they're going to take the first pick's going to be somebody that's, you know, 280 pounds or more. I don't know what that means, but that's what it is. And, you know, it's a broad claim, but I definitely think I thought the Packers could go D line. Kenny Clark's coming into a contract year, and he's still 28 and he's got another contract in him, but I thought, hey, protect the investment a little bit and bring another young guy in to play and learn from Kenny. Devontae Wyatt, we really like Wyatt, but you know, he's still coming into his own going into year three. This is a new defensive scheme. So, and then, you know, we like TJ Slayton as well a ton, but also a free agent after this year. You just start to do the math, and the Packers tend to draft with futures in mind. They've always done that in the past. So I thought it would be a logical selection. And lo and behold, the Packers don't do a darn thing in the draft with defensive line. What it does tell me, Wags, though, is I wouldn't be surprised. They've had a past history in Green Bay of adding a veteran defensive lineman kind of late in the process, come June or July, right before camp, to add another veteran body. They've done it a bunch of years in the past with this 4-3-D switch. I wouldn't be shocked if they bring another guy in, if for no other reason than to compete. Yes, they have some undrafted guys in as well. I think that they like guys like John Ford. There's other guys that have been on this roster too that I think they like. I'm slightly surprised, but it again means I think that they like what they've got and they want to see more from the current group of guys, and they know it better than we do. So I'm all on board. I think you're on mute, Wags.
I apologize. Thank you. Certainly it says a lot. We talked last year how we felt like the Packers had more talent, young talent, on this defensive line and edge position than they've had in a long time. And the front office must obviously believe that as well, that they back that up. I think they've got depth there. it's going to be interesting to see some news that Kingsley Enagbare may not have had as serious of an injury as at first thought. It's a little bit of unclear exactly what that means or what that looks like, but they came right out and alluded to that. So there may not be as much need to add depth to that position group. I think certainly you look at the versatility of a guy like Lucas Van Ness, and I think he had some times last season where you could just see why they drafted him in the first round as the 11th pick last year. And I think he's just going to continue to get better and better. And so I think Packers are looking at that, the talent on that group and the guys that are going to be ready to move around and have that positional versatility. But also, if you get breakout seasons from Lucas Van Ness and Devontae Wyatt, woo!
Let's go.
Let's go. Absolutely. Dane, let's talk a little bit about maybe some sleepers. We're not going to get too much into undrafted free agent guys, but it maybe not even who's starting week one. You can go that route if you want to. It can also be just who's a camp surprise, or like maybe who makes more of an impact than could be expected, and gets a little additional attention in the preseason, comes on the scene and makes, you know, maybe a little bit of a name for themselves in Packer circles, to potentially not only make this roster, but have a expanded role either early this season or setting himself up for future opportunities.
It's a great question, Wags. So a couple things. First of all, because the Packers drafted a couple other offensive linemen, and anybody who listens to pod knows we love our offensive linemen very, very much on this pod, with Travis Glover out of Georgia State and before him, Jacob Monk. Wags, Jacob Monk, center from Duke, can play all the interior offensive line positions, though, as far as I can tell from watching him. He's a very athletic guy. Love his mauling attitude. So Wags, instantly he stands out as somebody. I think he was a fifth round pick for us this year. Somebody that can kind of do a little bit of everything. There's going to be a couple jobs available in camp for the offensive line. Another competitive group. But as soon as he was drafted, I looked him up and I went, oh, that guy. That's a guy. That's such a Packer guy, right there. And the Packers have found gems over and over again later in the draft at the offensive line group. So Wags, where it gets curious is what do we do with Jordan Morgan? Does Jordan Morgan start in the left side? Does that mean Sheed bumps to the right side? Does, you know, Morgan truly start at the right side and does Sheed remain at left side? Does Morgan play inside? If he goes to the right side, does that mean Zach Tom's at center? Like, there's going to be so much competition, and musical chairs, right? But don't sleep. The sleeper here in all of this then becomes Monk. I think that he's just a guy that is really, really, talented, and does a little bit of everything. So that's kind of my guy. Is there somebody that stands out to you from the draft picks, that maybe sticks out?
Yeah, for me, it's Kalen King. We talked about earlier. I think he's not only going to make this team, but he might see some opportunities on the field at some point this year. You know, we're not rooting for injuries, but the reality is, I think, with what we've seen in history, of this cornerback group, there's going to be some opportunities. And so I think if he can come out and have a strong camp, that's going to give that much more confidence, for the Packers. And hopefully we can make it through camp relatively injury free. Could use a big return year from Jair Alexander. That's certainly make a big, huge difference, potentially for the success or failure of this defense as a whole. But, Carrington Valentine, you know, as a guy, we love him. And Eric Stokes, if he can be healthy, certainly I expect him to be right in the mix, if not have the upper hand, to be on the opposite boundary. So, but Kalen King, you watched the video, maybe had slightly down year last year. Part of the reason he slid in seventh round. But this kid is a football player, and he could have been a day two pick had he come out after his junior season. And Dane, I think is history tells us the Packers have had a lot of success, not just Carrington Valentine, but a lot of success getting cornerbacks late in the draft or undrafted free agency. And it seems like not every year, but it's not an uncommon theme for these guys to have someone come in that fits that profile and really make an early impact and an early impression in camp and see how that carries through. Not necessarily getting opportunities to get out on the field right away. Carrington Valentine's perfect example of that last year. Didn't get out on the field immediately, but then had some opportunities throughout the season, came in, and the Packers had a lot of confidence in how he's able to perform. So that's one. I think I'm just going to steal one other one that's not necessarily, I don't know if I'm ready to say will be an immediate impact. However, sneaky pick. We knew the Packers would take a quarterback, but listen, I'm just going to tell you right now that Michael Pratt, quarterback out of Tulane, this kid can sling the football. And I think Sean Clifford, honestly has a chance coming into year two to start to separate himself, as not just, the de facto backup quarterback, because I thought he actually played and acquitted himself pretty well last year in his rookie campaign in preseason. But dare I say, kind of could have a huge impact in camp. So it's going to be interesting to see how Michael Pratt performs, because Sean Clifford could be a guy that could start to have some value around the league if he can show some tape and what he can do. The Packers, I think, certainly are going to be hoping to develop Michael Pratt as maybe the next guy. So this may not be a situation where they're trading Sean Clifford going into this season. But if he kind of ascends, gets some tape, then all of a sudden we get a year of development for Michael Pratt. If this kid can play, all of a sudden Packers could be in a position where, all right, hopefully Sean Clifford never has to see the field in the regular season, but we're going to continue to develop guys at a premium position. We've got the next guy that we have confidence ready to come in. Let's flip Sean Clifford for a draft pick, and we can get some additional value from that and maybe the next year's draft or the year after. So I'm really keenly interested to see and what a guy like Michael Pratt can do. If not, you know what? Take another crack at it, perhaps next year in the draft. Sean Clifford is a key, but Michael Pratt, I think I'll be interested to see, can this kid play in this league?
Wags, if my grandpa, was a general manager, he would trade for Sean Clifford in a heartbeat. Off season when, in camp, he was like, oh my, that other quarterback, that Clifford. So, no, I hear that. I totally hear that. We've got some great comments in the chat. Green Bay, Nana Sheila, Packers not extending Eric Stokes contract. Your thoughts? It's a fifth year option. If the Packers extended Stokes' fifth year, he'd be guaranteed a significant amount of money, millions upon millions of dollars, and the Packers aren't willing to invest that. So, that doesn't mean Stokes isn't back in year five. It just means that he's kind of got to prove it, and they don't necessarily retain his rights next year. So it's more of a business decision, not necessarily an indictment of his time in Green Bay. And John talking about, offensive lines can be interesting where, and who can excel at, different positions. Spot on, man. Like, that's what we're saying. It's like the Packers, they love versatility, and they landed more versatile guys, I think, across the draft board yet again. I'm very excited about the future. It's a youthful offensive line. I can't believe with somebody like David Bakhtiari leaving Green Bay that I'd be so excited about the future. But, she played great ball down the stretch, and bringing in Morgan, Zach, Tom, it just the flexibility. It truly is going to be the best five guys are going to compete for the job, and, like, who's got it better than us? Sorry, Jim Harbaugh. No one. The Packers have the best offensive line, I think. Bright future in this league. Wags, was there any undrafted guys that stuck out to you? I have to just give a quick shout. I ask you, and then I'm going to tell you who's mine right away, because I'm stoked for the young man out of Wisconsin, Peter Bowden, the long snapper. He's rated as the number one long snapper in the NFL coming out. And he's going to have an opportunity. Last year, Matt Orzech, the Packers gave Orzech a three-year contract. And there were a couple times where Danny Whelan, the punter for us, had to scoop the ball out. And I think that's going to be a very real competition going into camp. So that's one right away. The Packers, for 19 straight years, folks, have had an undrafted free agent make the roster. So Wags and I always like to play this little game as the camp starts. Which guys is it going to be this year? I think year 2020, they're going to do it again. Right away, Bounty kind of jumped out at me because, you know, he is highly rated at a position where we could see some competition. And the Packers have been seeking long-term stability out of their long snapper for since we started this podcast 6+ years ago. So very interested to see that one. Does anybody stand out to you?
Yeah, I think it's Trendy Jones, the offensive lineman out of Michigan. And listen, I want to go back to the offensive lineman point, not to sweep over because I know how much you love your specialist, Dane, but, you know, it wasn't just Bakhtiari. We lost a little bit of depth in this offseason as well. And, you know, you can say what you will. Packers, we're not going they were not going to pay these guys. The guys they lost went out, they got paid, and good for them. That they were not going to be in the long-term plans. That said, I think we were confident in the talent that we had in this offensive line group, but we need to restock the talent. So not only do we have more competition across all of these position groups, maintaining that positional versatility, but I think we've got guys that are going to be ready to come in and compete and play from day one. And that's not just Morgan with that first round pick. So Dane, I'm excited to see how we can continue to have success with this offensive line group and how that approach is able to, really get some nice balance with Josh Jacobs in this running game, back there. Let's not forget this offense didn't really hit another gear until Aaron Jones came back healthy. So that's going to be a loss, no doubt about it. But if Josh Jacobs is as good as we think he can be in this offense, and it can really be kind of more of that just a bell cow running back. Aaron Jones wasn't a guy that was going to get 20, 25 touches a game for 18 weeks in this league anymore at this point in his career. He was special down the stretch, but it's easy to forget that he missed a lot of time last season. So if we've got a talented offensive line group that can gel early and we can get this running game going early with some more explosiveness and some more consistency out of that running back group that we have at the top of the depth chart. I think that's going to help this offense hit that next gear with all the young talent we had at the rest of the position groups and certainly confidence that we have in Jordan Love. So Dane, I'm just really excited by how the Packers approach offensive line. They were able to allocate funds and resources where they needed to, but they were able to restock and I think bring in new talent and they're going to be ready to go, with the guys that they have up front.
That's great. It's great insight. One thing that stuck out to me, about the undrafted free agent class, Wags, is, and kind of staying on this offensive line vein, it's so fascinating. There's dollars and cents to all of this too, right? And Packers traditionally don't do a lot of guaranteed money, to the undrafted free agents that come in. And this is a smaller year. So maybe that's part of the reason, but, there's only 8 undrafted free agents this year. Last year, I think it was 12. We've seen some years, 14, 15 undrafted free agents, but Packers had a lot of draft picks. They already had a lot of young talent under contract. So it's just a smaller year to round out to 90. But Wags, Donovan Jennings from South Florida, $10,000 signing bonus and $100,000 guaranteed. That's very unpacker-like. So clearly there's something there as well. We mentioned 2 other guys, but my goodness, they must like something there. So all the more reason you're talking about the competition. You're talking about this kind of revamp of the offensive line. The Packers, one of the reasons the offensive line is good is because the Packers invest in the offensive line every single year. They drafted 3 and they brought some undrafted guys in and are paying a premium to get these guys in. So it's just very exciting, I think, as a Packer fan to see that they really understand you have to protect Jordan Love if you want to be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. So Dane, I think we touched on everything just from more of a high level analysis of this draft. Any other closing thoughts before we sign off here for the evening?
No, it's just, I'm ready, man. I'm ready for football. Packers have rookie mini camp, a couple of young dudes trying out in Green Bay this week. I'm excited to hear how things go. And folks, if you haven't listened, Rashid Walker, starting left tackle of the Green Bay Packers, was recently on the podcast. You can check it out, Lombardi's Legends podcast, wherever you get your podcast. You could also, the one before that was Wayne Larrabee, the voice of the Green Bay Packers. So we've had some tremendous guests and a number of other guys, all off season. We're planning on having more guests and we're going to be back with more Packer content soon.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, folks, for joining us, listening in. As always, be legendary and go Pack, go.
Every year I know we gonna go hard. We been that team ever since Bart Starr. All my cheese heads go Pack go. Ain't show with no mercy, cutting no slack, no. I ain't a bad sport and I'll even wish you good luck. Only thing I will say.